Imagine waking up every morning to a battle of wills. A simple request to get dressed for school escalates into tears, screaming, and perhaps even a thrown object. For millions of parents worldwide, this isn't imagination, but daily reality. Jessie Jane Rutherford's The Everything Parent's Guide to the Defiant Child has become a lifeline for these exhausted caregivers, offering a compassionate roadmap through the turbulent terrain of raising strong-willed children. The book has gained particular popularity among celebrity parents like Pink and Chrissy Teigen, who have openly discussed their parenting challenges on social media. Since its publication, it has sparked important conversations about the fine line between typical childhood boundary testing and more serious behavioral concerns, challenging the culture of silence around parenting difficulties. What makes this guide particularly powerful is its dual approach, acknowledging the genuine struggles parents face while providing evidence-based strategies that work without breaking the parent-child bond. After all, isn't that the ultimate balancing act of parenting? Setting necessary boundaries while preserving the love that makes it all worthwhile. Parenting styles and children's personalities vary tremendously, making it challenging to distinguish between normal developmental phases and problematic defiance requiring intervention. What one family considers defiant behavior might be perfectly acceptable in another household. This gray area leaves many parents wondering if they're being too strict or too lenient. Defiance appears more prevalent in recent years, though experts debate whether this reflects increased labeling or actual behavioral changes. Psychologists define defiance as a recurring pattern of oppositional behavior directed toward authority figures. It's categorized as an externalizing issue because it affects relationships with others. Some defiance is normal as children test limits and independence, but oppositional defiance disorder, ODD, represents a more serious condition requiring formal treatment. Defiance manifests differently across various settings. At home, it can make the environment unpleasant for everyone, with parents finding themselves enjoying their defiant child's company less and seeking escape. A typical scenario involves a parent making a reasonable request, like setting the table, only to be ignored, followed by discovering rule breaking, playing video games before homework, and ultimately facing a tantrum when confronted. When oppositional behavior occurs in public settings, parents often feel intense embarrassment as others observe the situation. Children who have learned to push buttons at home may escalate their behavior in public. For example, at a birthday party, a child might deliberately ignore requests to sit down with food, drop cake on the floor, and run outside with a fork, forcing the parent to follow. This public dimension adds significant stress to managing defiant behavior. When children enter school, defiant behavior becomes the concern of school authorities. This can manifest as refusing to do schoolwork despite having the ability, declining to attend class, or responding with inappropriate language when disciplined. This passive defiance can be particularly frustrating when it appears the child is throwing away talent and potential. The causes of defiance stem from both nature, biological factors, and nurture, environmental influences. Natural factors include exposure to substances in utero or during childhood, children's own substance abuse, oppositional defiance disorder, and organic brain issues from injuries or developmental delays. Environmental factors include hectic lifestyles, financial stress, unsafe neighborhoods, distant extended family, past trauma, or parents too exhausted to provide needed attention. Some defiance is normal at every developmental stage. Preschoolers throw fits, preteens gripe about rules, and teenagers challenge authority. However, persistent patterns that interfere with family functioning or indicate potential disorders require intervention. Parents must recognize when behavior crosses from typical development into problematic territory requiring professional help. Love requires more than just words. It demands action. If you're struggling with a defiant child, you clearly love them, but don't assume they know it without demonstration. Strengthening your bond requires concrete steps to make them feel secure and loved. Human bonding is an evolutionary survival mechanism. We're wired to connect with caregivers. John Bowlby's attachment theory argues that children need consistent, responsive caregivers to develop normally. Frequent caregiver changes or emotional neglect prevent strong attachments. Children establish a primary bond with one caregiver, with all other relationships being secondary. Simply providing food and shelter isn't enough. Nurturing relationships creates strong bonds. Strong early attachment provides security for growth and shapes a child's understanding of relationships. When caregivers respond to both physical and emotional needs, children develop healthy relationship patterns and can pursue creativity and problem solving. Conversely, neglected attachment bids can create anxiety, disrupt social development, and even contribute to psychopathic behavior or reactive attachment disorder. Children initiate bonds through bidding. Any attempt at engagement, from hugs to tantrums to simply leaning on you while you're busy. Securely bonded children bid less frequently than insecurely bonded ones. Respond to positive bids to strengthen your bond, though you needn't drop everything immediately. If you consistently ignore bids, your child will feel disconnected. Bonding isn't about expensive trips or checking off time spent together. It's about quality interaction. When time is limited, use the 5-minute freeze technique. Spend 5 minutes exclusively engaged with each child. This might be cuddling with young children, no TV, sharing snack time with school-age kids, or having distraction-free car rides with teens, phones off for everyone. Despite declining leisure time, Americans still have some control over how they spend free time. Choose low-stress activities that allow face-to-face interaction, like park visits or walks. Even activities like bike rides can build bonds if they permit conversation, allow stops when needed, focus on enjoyment rather than achievement, engage your child's interest, and keep everyone relaxed. If your child seems unresponsive to your bonding attempts, persistence is key. Children who have been hurt before may be guarding their emotions while watching to see if you're sincere. Avoid having specific outcomes in mind during bonding activities. Don't push for achievements or even expect immediate connection. Think of your 5-minute freezes as small deposits in a savings account that accumulate value over time. After trying various bonding approaches, you'll likely find what works best for your child. Understanding different love styles, how people express and receive love, is essential. Beyond quality time, which was covered earlier, several other love styles may resonate with your child, including gift giving, verbal affirmation, physical touch, and acts of service. Discovering your child's primary bond with another adult can be painful, especially if it's someone outside your family. When your child's bond with another adult is safe and appropriate, like a long-time daycare provider, consider nurturing rather than disrupting it. Show your child you value this relationship through small gestures, like birthday cards or holiday gifts for the caregiver. Beyond oppositional defiance disorder, defiant behavior can stem from various underlying medical and mental health issues. Identifying these factors can help you better understand and address your child's needs, whether the solutions are simple or complex. Many medical conditions can cause irritability, aggression, unpredictability, and attraction to dangerous or high-stimulation environments. Sleep disorders can cause crankiness in children of all ages. If your child sleeps poorly or has irregular patterns, consult a pediatrician and therapist. Be aware that sleep changes can also indicate depression or drug use, and that puberty naturally alters sleep patterns. Diabetes, both type 1 and type 2, can cause mood swings through blood sugar fluctuations. Allergies and sensitivities, increasingly common in today's children, can cause irritability without obvious cause. Watch for behavioral patterns connected to meals or environmental exposures. Abnormal hormone levels may trigger aggressive behavior, requiring thorough testing by a pediatric specialist before any treatment decisions. Unfortunately, some medical causes of defiance cannot be fixed. Brain and nervous system abnormalities from genetic factors, head injuries, or fetal exposure to drugs, alcohol, and tobacco can impair development and impulse control. Children with these issues often seek highly stimulating activities, including defiant behaviors, to feel normal. While you can't change past damage, early intervention is crucial. Mental and emotional factors can significantly contribute to defiant behavior. Depression affects nearly 10% of American adults yearly, including 8% of adolescents and 2% of school-age children, with higher rates in females. While adults typically appear sad, depressed children often seem irritable and disinterested in previously enjoyed activities. Despite stigma preventing treatment, depression responds well to interventions like medication and cognitive behavioral therapy. Anxiety disorders encompass numerous conditions, including separation anxiety, obsessive-compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, and various phobias. Sufferers may experience panic attacks with physical symptoms like shortness of breath and heart palpitations that mimic serious medical conditions. People with anxiety truly believe terrible consequences will result from their fears, making the experience genuinely terrifying. Cognitive factors can drive defiant behavior, often intertwined with medical and emotional reasons. Despite debates about measuring intelligence, children scoring low on IQ tests typically perform worse academically. This doesn't mean they're stupid, but they often feel stupid due to poor grades or others' implications. For children with cognitive delays or language difficulties, expressing feelings becomes especially challenging. Some defiant children lack essential social skills for success in school and activities. While some kids naturally draw others to them, social skills can be taught to those who struggle. Children often act defiantly when frustrated and unable to express their feelings. Teaching your child to recognize and name frustration is powerful. When you see them building toward a meltdown because they can't accomplish something, gently identify the feeling. It looks like you're feeling frustrated because you want to write your name, but it's not working out. If you suspect your child has a medical or mental health problem causing defiant behavior, finding qualified professionals for proper testing is essential. For suspected brain trauma, allergies, sleep disorders, hormone issues, cognitive delays, or diabetes, consult a pediatrician who can provide testing or specialist referrals. For depression or anxiety, seek mental health professionals like marriage and family therapists, licensed clinical psychologists, or psychiatrists, with psychiatrists having the most training and ability to prescribe medication. Not every defiant child has oppositional defiance disorder, but understanding this condition is crucial if your child shows persistent defiant behaviors. OD affects between 1 to 6% of children today. It's more common in boys before puberty, but affects both genders equally afterward, though manifestations may differ by age and gender. According to the American Psychiatric Association, OD is diagnosed when a child frequently exhibits four or more specific behaviors for at least 6 months: losing temper, arguing with adults, defying rules, blaming others, showing anger/resentment, being spiteful/vindictive, and deliberately annoying others while being easily annoyed. OD develops gradually and can coexist with attention deficit disorders, but not conduct disorder. The line between typical defiance and diagnosable OD exists on a continuum rather than as a clear boundary. The determination largely depends on severity, frequency, and impact on daily functioning. When behaviors severely disrupt family relationships, school performance, or lead to trouble with authorities, they likely meet clinical thresholds. Children with untreated OD can deteriorate without professional intervention. Diagnosis doesn't mean your child is crazy, but indicates that new parenting strategies must be combined with professional support. While parents may fear labels, recognizing the condition validates your struggles and opens pathways to appropriate treatment for the whole family. It's crucial to determine whether your child has OD or another condition, as many disorders have overlapping symptoms but require different treatments. Conduct disorder, CD, affects approximately 2% of girls and 9% of boys, and is considered more extreme than OD. It's characterized by aggression toward people and animals, destruction of property, deceitfulness or theft, and serious rule violations. If a child meets criteria for both OD and CD, the CD diagnosis takes precedence. ADHD commonly co-occurs with OD. About half of children with ADHD also have OD. Children with ADHD struggle with staying on task, paying attention, waiting in line, following instructions, sitting still, and ignoring distractions. Unlike OD, ADHD typically responds well to medication.
If your child has both conditions, addressing the ADHD pharmacologically may help reduce the number of behavioral issues you're tackling through parenting strategies alone. OD frequently appears alongside mood disorders like bipolar disorder and depression. Bipolar disorder involves extreme mood swings from elation to despair, with impulsive behavior during highs and melancholy or even suicidal thoughts during lows. Depression in children often manifests as irritability rather than sadness, along with loss of interest in previously enjoyable activities, changes in appetite or sleep patterns, and difficulty thinking clearly. OD presents differently at various ages. For children ages 3 to 6, OD often manifests during transitions between activities. School-age children with OD, like fourth grader Connor, who also has ADHD, display disruptive behaviors beyond typical attention issues. Teenage OD can escalate to delinquency, crossing the line from normal teenage defiance into criminal behavior. While OD can't be cured, it can be effectively controlled until the child's behavior falls within normal range. Treatment typically combines pharmacological approaches with environmental and behavioral strategies. Medications for OD suppress symptoms rather than eliminate them like antibiotics do with bacteria. No single medication works for all cases. Prescriptions target specific disruptive behaviors. Effective OD treatment typically requires parent participation in therapy sessions, not because parents caused the problem, but because they're best positioned to implement environmental changes. The therapeutic approach usually focuses on establishing a system of rewards for positive behavior while minimizing punishment. Programs emphasizing praise and rewards have been scientifically proven more effective than traditional punishment for children with OD. Working with treatment professionals who focus on environmental changes, problem solving, and social skills training can bring noticeable improvements in as little as a few months, with some changes visible within weeks. The key is addressing one small, specific goal at a time, starting with the most disruptive behaviors. If your child's behavior worsens, immediate help is crucial. About 75% of untreated OD cases develop into conduct disorder, which begins gradually but can lead to property damage, legal troubles, and physical danger.
Perhaps the most effective strategy for influencing your defiant child's behavior is acknowledging and affirming appropriate behaviors through praise and reward. Though it may initially seem counterproductive or insincere, this approach works when traditional methods have failed. Praise and reward are the foundation for positive behavioral change. Behaviorism theory shows that positive reinforcement increases the likelihood behaviors will recur. Just as pushing a bike pedal rewards you by moving the bike forward, your praise rewards your child's positive actions, encouraging repetition. This isn't manipulation, it's guidance that's proven more effective than negative reinforcement. As a parent, you must become the reward system for your child's positive behaviors. Though you might feel your defiant child needs consequences rather than praise, positive reinforcement is actually more powerful and effective than punishment in changing behavior patterns. All people fundamentally seek rewards. Adults work for money to buy necessities and luxuries. People obey laws not just to avoid punishment, but to enjoy peaceful communities and social respect. While behaviorism suggests people act based on conditioning, personality also plays a role. Like a cake with a fixed flavor that can be decorated but not fundamentally changed, your child has inherent traits that can be shaped but not completely altered. Understanding this helps set realistic expectations and develop effective strategies. Social learning theory shows people learn by observing others. Your child mimics your behaviors and those of other influential adults. Do as I say, not as I do, rarely works. Children absorb examples more than instructions. This underscores the importance of monitoring your child's interactions with other adults and ensuring they model values that align with yours. Praise is a verbal reward given after your child does something you want repeated. When done correctly and frequently, it becomes a powerful behavior modification tool. Direct praise is most effective when behavior-specific rather than vague. Wow, you picked up all your toys and found a neat way to stack things that didn't fit in the toy box. Works better than, you're such a nice boy. Timing is crucial. Praise immediately after the behavior occurs and do it consistently.
Praising your child to others within earshot can be effective as a supplement to direct praise. This works especially well if your child has been the subject of negative conversations recently. Like direct praise, indirect praise should be behavior-specific and sincere, focusing on concrete actions like helping grandparents or academic efforts. Adding qualifiers like "don't let that get to your head" or sarcastic reminders of past failures negates praise entirely. Comparing your child to others, "maybe someday you'll be as good as your cousin," actually praises the other person while suggesting your child's efforts aren't enough, breeding resentment and discouragement. Choose rewards that cater to your child's tastes rather than disguised rewards for yourself. Effective rewards are attractive to the child, specific, tangible, and measurable. They should be small and inexpensive enough to give every time a desired behavior occurs, like peanuts for an elephant, leading step by step rather than all at once. Select rewards before you need them. Stickers, small toys that complement larger sets, like Legos, bucks for screen time or one-on-one activities, or even small pieces of candy. Create visual systems that show progress at a glance. For younger children, use sticker charts on the refrigerator or visible Lego buckets that reveal accumulation. For older children, implement point systems, bucks, tickets, or tokens that can be exchanged for privileges like extended curfew or screen time. Initially, reward every instance of desired behavior to establish credibility and form habits. After the behavior becomes automatic, gradually decrease frequency of rewards, transitioning to verbal praise and eventually just a smile. Celebrate accumulated rewards, perhaps with a photo of your child with their full sticker chart. When one behavior is established, move on to improving the next behavior. Unlike tangible rewards, privileges are special activities or access to material objects, staying up late, sleepovers, internet use. They work better for older children since they're not tangible. Privileges work best when time-limited or performance-based, staying up until 10 p.m. on weekends for turning in all homework, or playing basketball while maintaining a B average.
Before implementing rules and consequences, it's essential to establish the praise and reward systems discussed in the previous chapter. Start small by focusing on just a few important rules rather than trying to address all behavioral issues at once. Despite their protests, children actually want and need rules and consequences. They instinctively understand they require adult protection to survive, and boundaries show them what's safe and acceptable. Their defiant behavior isn't a demand for no rules, it's a demand that you consistently enforce them. The laid-back, laissez-faire approach to parenting that lets children do whatever they want has gained popularity but is ineffective at shaping behavior. As awareness of child abuse has grown, some parents have mistakenly abandoned rules and consequences as too harsh. This simplistic view ignores that effective parenting requires both positive reinforcement and appropriate consequences. Children actually want limits, though they won't say so directly. When they test or challenge rules, they're essentially asking, "Do you care enough about me to protect me from what you've told me is harmful?" Children view your enforcement of rules as an act of love and protection. When you don't enforce rules, your child feels unloved, unsafe, and unparented. When parents don't enforce rules, children feel insecure. Looking the other way might seem easier in the moment, but it creates a slippery slope where rule-breaking escalates as the child tests boundaries. Unenforced defiant behaviors will worsen as the child essentially asks, "How far can I go before somebody stops me?" When addressing defiance, start small by focusing on a few critical rules that increase safety and peace at home. Divide household rules into three categories: very important, less important, and negotiable. First, identify all problem behaviors, then select the three most problematic ones for your most important rules list. Examples include safety rules, telling an adult before leaving the house, school attendance, preventing property damage, protecting pets, and completing homework. After establishing your top priorities, identify 3 to 5 additional behaviors to address later after your child has mastered the most important rules. These are disruptive behaviors you can temporarily tolerate because they don't cause immediate harm. Examples include rules about swearing, yelling, curfews, supervision requirements, and screen time limits. A rule without a consequence is meaningless,
just empty words that translate to blah, blah, blah. Without consequences in place, children will ignore rules and parents will grow tired of repeating themselves. Though children hate consequences, they actually want them as proof you're serious about the rules. When testing boundaries, they're essentially asking, "You gonna stop me?" Your answer must be yes. Effective consequences must be immediate, age-appropriate, unpleasant for the child, proportionate to the misbehavior, time-limited, not stretching into oblivion, and non-negotiable once the rule is broken. Consequences generally fall into two categories: removals, taking away privileges like screen time, social activities, or dessert, and impositions, adding unpleasant situations like paying fines, having a parent accompany them to school, or extra chores. Corporal punishment, hard spankings, hitting, restraint, or other physical punishments, is generally ineffective and often borders on or constitutes child abuse. Hitting with objects like belts is widely considered abusive and has resulted in legal consequences for parents. Physical discipline tends to escalate and could lead to dangerous confrontations with defiant children. The punishment should fit the misbehavior. For your most important rules, create stiff but appropriate consequences. Write these clearly numbered rules and consequences on a large sheet of paper in a format that connects specific behaviors with specific outcomes, like no hitting. If you hit anyone, you will sit in timeout for 5 minutes. Focus on rules you can practically enforce based on what you can actually observe and measure. Choose a calm moment without an imminent power struggle to introduce your new rules. Approach your child with love, explaining, "I love you too much to let things go on like they have been, and it is my job to keep you safe and help you grow up with every advantage in life, so I am laying down some new rules." Then show them your clearly written list of rules and consequences. When rules are broken, and they will be, you must be prepared with a plan for enforcement in various situations: at the supermarket, in the car, while busy, in front of company, or at someone else's house. Respond immediately when your child violates important rules, no matter what you're doing. Simply state, "No, that is against the rules," followed by the consequence. Don't engage in discussion or respond to protests.
The importance of consistency with a defiant child cannot be overemphasized. It's the most essential requirement for effective discipline. Understanding how consistency helps children, coordinating with other adults, and maintaining consistency long-term are crucial elements. No matter how well selected your rules or how effective your discipline methods, consistency is essential, or your efforts will be wasted. Children need consistency because your actions speak louder than words. It's hardwired into their development. Like learning to ride a bike, behaviors become easier with practice because brain cells grow and strengthen through repeated use. Children's brains develop differently than adults, with critical periods for certain skills. For new behaviors to become automatic habits, you must remain consistent while your child's brain develops these neural pathways. Consistency makes children feel safe and secure by creating predictability. When rewards, rules, and consequences are reliable, children think, "I know what to expect," and typically choose to follow rules established for their well-being. After the difficult hump of establishing consistent discipline, most children respond with improved behavior, making life easier for everyone. Children don't distinguish well between mom's rules and dad's rules. Inconsistency between parents can cause anxiety and worsen defiant behaviors, so coordinating with your partner is essential to establish our rules. When addressing a child's defiant behavior, parents must communicate effectively as a team. Start by finding common ground about concerns, listen empathetically to your partner's frustrations, and then share observations and recommendations. Once aligned, parents must enforce rules consistently. The parent present when a rule is broken should immediately apply consequences rather than waiting for the other parent. Avoid statements like, "Wait until dad gets home," which divide parents and allow children to exploit differences. At day's end, briefly review incidents and strategies, keeping disagreements private. Children will test boundaries, so maintaining a united front is essential for success. Divorced parents face greater challenges with consistency. If communication is possible, share your rules and consequences system without demanding immediate agreement. For resistant ex-partners, consider enlisting a child psychologist as a neutral mediator to develop compatible rules for both households.
Even if cooperation isn't possible, maintaining consistency in your own home builds trust with your child and demonstrates your commitment to their well-being. Help children understand that most rules across different environments follow common themes, not harming others or their property, fulfilling responsibilities for individual and group well-being, and trusting others to do the same. Explain how rules in various settings, like school, connect to these fundamental principles, and discuss how democracy and leadership work to establish rules that protect everyone. Begin forming and reinforcing good habits immediately rather than waiting for a better time. The sooner you establish consistent patterns, the quicker they'll become ingrained. Focus on the present and future rather than dwelling on past mistakes or delays in addressing behavior issues. Seek support rather than trying to handle everything alone. Recognize your expertise about your child while acknowledging others' experience with defiant behaviors or family dynamics. After initial improvement, prepare for setbacks. When regression occurs, maintain consistent enforcement of consequences regardless of how long your child has been complying. Try to identify potential triggers for the behavior while avoiding acceptance of excuses that shift responsibility. If persistent problems emerge, consider whether rules need adjustment or if external factors are causing disruption. Changes from routine should be rare exceptions. The more flexibility you allow with rules during special occasions, the more your child will push boundaries. When making exceptions, explain them ahead of time with clear parameters. Since it's Halloween, you can go to bed at 9 instead of 8 just for tonight. Expect your child to try finding reasons for special occasions every night, but remain firm. A loving structure at home provides a foundation, but proactive enrichment helps your child thrive. Self-realization and an enriching environment enable your child to become their best self. Good communication minimizes fighting between family members and with the outside world. These skills can be learned and taught with rewarding results, yet many don't use them because societies have lost the habit and it takes courage to care about others' feelings. Effective communication begins with listening, not talking. Despite your own unmet needs, try to quiet the white noise of life and truly hear your child. Simply being present without offering advice or solutions is powerful. When speaking, focus on feelings and actions rather than labels. Avoid name-calling. Nobody is inherently stupid, lazy, smart, or organized. These are judgments, not facts. Instead, describe observable actions. You cleaned your room 3 times this week, or you've waited to study until the night before your test. I statements express your feelings without judgment. I feel disappointed because you broke your promise about calling, or I feel peaceful when we hug and talk like this. Jean Piaget's groundbreaking work showed that children develop morals primarily through peer interaction, not parental punishment. Moral development occurs in stages as children gain capacity for complex thought. When power is shared rather than imposed, children benefit from meaningful discussions about ethics and learn to form their own judgments. Identify your core values by examining what's important to you physically, emotionally, intellectually, interpersonally, and spiritually. Have your partner do the same. Then look for common themes. Create 3 to 5 core family value statements in the format, "We value because we want." Post these prominently as a reminder of what matters most to your family. Your actions speak louder than words. If you want your children to exercise and eat nutritiously, you must do the same. You can't expect more from them than you're willing to do yourself. Despite time constraints, prioritizing your core values demonstrates their importance to your children. While you can't control all outside influences, you can guide your children toward activities that reinforce positive values. Effective extracurricular activities must be enriching, while still fun, provide a platform for self-expression, be age-appropriate, and incorporate the child's input. Activities teach more than skills. They teach values about competition, teamwork, and personal agency. Often, the problem isn't which activity to choose, but how many. As school budgets shrink, parents try filling gaps with extracurriculars in music, sports, arts, and languages. This can lead to overscheduling, with practices every day and events filling weekends. With multiple children, parents become taxi drivers in a military-like schedule that leaves no room for downtime. Children need unstructured time to develop creativity and individuality. A parent's job isn't keeping children occupied 100% of the time. Doing so impedes free thought and personal development. Many suburban environments restrict children's play through HOA regulations or social norms that kids from freely using outdoor spaces. Take risks and advocate for your children's right to play outside. Despite increasing urbanization limiting access to nature, it remains crucial for children's health, providing fresh air, exercise, peace, and cognitive development. Even with limited access, parents can help by teaching children the names of local plants and animals, taking technology-free nature weekends to nearby locations, and creating nature microcosms like window gardens or ant farms at home. Your immediate and extended family can provide strong positive influences on your child's development and moral education. While you can't choose your extended family, you can manage their influence. Share information about your child's needs selectively and privately. Be polite but firm about mandates like allergies or behavioral approaches, and don't allow relatives to undermine your parenting in front of your children. Teach empathy by asking children to consider others' feelings. How do you think Jody felt when that girl pushed her? Then, help them consider how their own actions affect others. How would you feel if he did that to you? If your child shows remorse, acknowledge it. It looks like you're feeling sad thinking about how that might have made him feel. Would you like to apologize? Toddlers naturally defy parents as part of development, experimenting with power and influence while simultaneously striving for autonomy. Their minds develop in spurts, with language development requiring rich environmental stimulation through talking, singing, and reading. While testing boundaries isn't malicious, parents must consistently enforce rules and consequences to prevent defiance from becoming habitual. Allow toddlers to build skills through supervised activities like outdoor play, art, cooking, and household chores. Expect occasional regressions, especially in areas like potty training, and avoid punishment for these natural setbacks. Wait until your child is ready before creating rules around new skills. Preschoolers, ages 3-5, present evolved challenges as they develop reasoning abilities and sophisticated defiance. They can now empathize, show remorse, and engage in abstract conversations. Defiance at this age typically stems from masking fears or deliberately provoking reactions. Parents face increasingly complex behaviors, including passive defiance, explosive outbursts, and deliberate deception. Elementary school children, ages 5 to 10, typically show calmer behavior, though defiance remains challenging for some. Development becomes more steady across physical, social, emotional, and academic domains. Rules must adapt for older children while remaining non-negotiable. Children begin using logical arguments to challenge authority, requiring firm but measured responses. Middle school brings increased defiance as adolescents navigate independence. Puberty transforms children, requiring parents to address sexuality education and adult issues openly. The push-pull between independence and dependence intensifies, with adolescents alternating between extremes as they establish appropriate behaviors. Teens require parents to balance guidance with increasing autonomy. While physically mature, their developing brains still struggle with consequence mapping and impulse control. Identity formation involves testing boundaries and trying different personas. Parents should help teens think through potential outcomes rather than dismissing choices as stupid, providing support while allowing natural consequences to serve as teaching moments.